kept locked. It was the garage.
My pappy said, son, you're gonna drive into drinking if you don't stop driving.
Now you're running car.
Tell him it's your car and you do what you want with it. I own this car, I do as I please. I also own the highway, my taxes paid for that. They're both mine. I own the highway and I own the car. I own everything!
Big trouble. That's the rookie Suarez up and over Regan Smith, the big one. Big trouble in the trial.
Podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Eric Stahl.
And I'm Daryl Scott.
And welcome to Throwing Wrenches, episode 10.
This is the first episode, Eric, of 2019. Hope you had a good holiday season and hope all the listeners did too. Did you do anything super crazy, super fun?
Well, I listened to our last show, our self-indulgent Christmas show.
Did you make everyone else in your family listen to
Actually,
it?
Actually, I played a snip of it for my brother.
Did you?
The part. Actually, I played him the part with you with the Christmas tree flying off the roof.
Oh, geez.
And he was laughing his butt off, too. So.
I liked it.
Now, as far as holidays went, we'll get down to it in project stuff. I did kind of play around with my son's truck, and not a whole lot. I ate and ate, and I drank and I drank. How about you?
Yeah, I did the same. I lost 15 pounds going into the holidays. I put almost all that back on.
No.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going to definitely try to work some of that off.
Hey, what are resolutions for, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So in case you're just joining us for the very first time or your New Year's resolution was to check out some new car podcasts, automotive podcasts.
That's likely what somebody's resolution would be.
Probably not. That's like for all two people who have resolved to check
listen
this
to
out.
More podcasts.
This is a little ditty that we like to call the automotive podcast that Peoria deserves.
Yes.
And we're, of course, based in the Peoria area. Of course, a little spread out here and there, but we're coming to you from the Studio A here, Eric's lovely studio with brand new crystal clear mixer.
Yeah, it sounds nice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This was a Christmas present, so we're going to make the most of it here.
I dig it.
If you don't know, Daryl Scott is formerly of radio fame in the local Peoria and Chicago markets.
Yeah, right.
His dulcet tones have been heard all over the Midwest, I think, at some point.
Yeah. And Eric is a, well, tell the folks at home what you do.
Oh, come on. I'm just a lowly service manager at a Metro Peoria dealership. So
he's so humble, folks.
Yeah.
But Eric knows a thing or two about lots of different vehicles, specifically of the Toyota kind and all-wheel drive vehicles. And in his spare time, likes to go off-road and do a little adventure excursions, right?
All right, now we got to one-up each other. Well, Daryl really likes old Volvos, and he knows more about old Volvos than anybody else possibly in Peoria County.
And his favorite color is blue. Just kidding. Nah, this is getting weird. So we're gonna stop that. That's kind of the synopsis. So if you just joined us for the first time, welcome. In a nutshell, that's what we're all about. But definitely check us out. Give us some feedback. And speaking of feedback, we do enjoy hearing from folks who visit us at throwingwrenches.com or follow us and send us a message on our Facebook page.
Which we have one of those here right now, Daryl.
Yeah.
Jason Hoffman over at Toyota Trucks and Trails Podcast was the next person to pile on the fact that I said east of the Mississippi when I was talking about Toyota events.
Were you up to two complaints about this?
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry, feedback.
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to feedback, feedback is pretty thin, but when you say something wrong, it starts coming in. So I think what we need to do is definitely be less accurate on the show, Daryl.
I think that would be great. It would spur some more conversation.
Yeah.
Or maybe just get an atlas. Maybe that might help.
I'll put a big map up here on the wall.
Yeah, throw darts at it.
No, Toyota Trucks and Trails is a pretty good little podcast. Those guys are hardcore do-it-yourself wheelers. Those guys have some older trucks, and they show up to some Toyota events. I'm not sure where they're out of, but they seem to be doing a lot of stuff in the South and in the East. So I'm guessing that Arkansas spot where I was at was probably in their wheelhouse. And one of those guys was there. They actually have a truck with a cool logo on the side that says Toyota Trucks and Trail Podcast.
Really?
We certainly don't have a podcast mobile, Daryl. And amongst my six cars, and how many cars do you own?
Six.
Six. I mean, we own 12 cars between us.
I think that's some good marketing opportunity right there. You get one of those cricket machines, like prints.
I saw Sticker Mule's got like a buck a sticker or something like that. Maybe we should get 10 stickers made up.
Yeah, we
got
to come up with a logo or something.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of work.
So if any of you kids at home are a graphic artist and want to do something for nothing, maybe a shout out on the air. Yeah. No, I don't know. We'll figure something out. That would be fun, though. We'll see. Sticker it up.
Yeah, we'll see. Speaking of, how's the photo contest going, Daryl?
What photo contest, Eric? Because we haven't had any submissions. What the heck was our What did we ask people to send
in? You said, let's have a little photo contest, folks. Just send us a picture of your ride. And to date, even your relatives haven't sent us a picture there. I mean, I would think, you know, even your brother might say, oh, I'll take pity on my brother.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm the worst marketer, and I need to do a better job. That's my resolution in this this brand new year. There's an opportunity for us to maybe seek a little more input, get a little more involved. If you had a picture of something you're working on this winter, come on, it's winter in the Midwest.
Post on our Facebook page. You don't have to do anything real exciting there. Just post on our Facebook page.
What else are you going to do? Shovel?
And then if we make stickers, you might get a sticker.
Oh, that's – there you go.
There's a mite. See, in the way I threw the mite in there, you don't really know for sure what you're going to get.
You put like one of those legal disclaimers, like, you know, may not actually get sticker.
Hey, we never said you were going to get sticker. We just said you might.
You might.
Yeah.
It's the potential.
You want to move on to projects, Daryl? Get right into this thing?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. You know, the last show was such a such a comedy act. I feel like this is like getting on a horse again or something.
We need to get on down to business.
Yeah, we do.
So when I pulled up, I did notice a mildly lifted, somewhat beefier 4Runner sitting in the driveway. What's that about?
Yeah, so when we leave here tonight, my son may actually give you a tour of it because he's pretty proud of it. So.
Nice, nice.
Did you see the truck before? I don't think
you did. Just pictures.
Yeah, so I bought this 1998 4Runner from just a little car lot in Creve Coeur, actually. I got it for $1,700, 140,000 mile 4Runner, but two-wheel drive, automatic, it's a dog.
Four-cylinder?
Yeah. But I knew looking at it. 2.7 liter.
Okay.
So there was two four-cylinders you could get in Toyota trucks that vintage. They had a 2.4 for the two-wheel drives, and they had a 2.7 for the four-wheel drives. It was basically the old 22R engine, but it had a timing chain on it. So they'd change some stuff from the timing belt motors. The truck was going to the auction. The people, they told me, like, oh, you don't want this truck. It's two-wheel drive. We've shown it several times and nobody wants it. And I'm like, no, I know this. I've driven by it. I saw the black matte bumpers. I saw the black handles. Everything on that truck told me it was base. I knew exactly what it was. Yeah. So I got it for a song. And
it's pretty clean, too, body-wise.
Yeah, no. Well, and see, most of those cars are sold in the South. You would never see a two-wheel drive 4Runner in this part of the country, especially with a four-cylinder. It just didn't happen. So
yeah.
California, Florida, actually in the Southeast, they would put stickers on them with like surfboards and umbrellas and call them like the beach edition or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because you could get them really cheap. I think a factory sticker price on one of those all stripped down was like 21 grand.
Wow.
You know, at the time. So to buy a 4Runner for 21 grand.
In the late 90s, early
2000s. Yeah. Not a bad deal.
Can you still get a two-wheel drive 4Runner?
Yes.
Okay.
And believe it or not, you can.
I wasn't sure.
At least you could up to a couple years ago. I haven't checked recently, but I was surprised because I did a search on two-wheel drive 4Runners, and they're still out there. But.
So you get this thing. It's pretty. It's pretty good shape. I mean, not that many miles for the year.
Yeah,
and
but
what's the plan for it again?
It had micro mini street tires on it, and it looked just like a little sad little truck. So my friend, he bought some tires on a tire sale in October, and he was getting new rims anyway, and He didn't get hub-centric rims. That's a conversation for a whole nother show.
We need a rim and tire day.
I want to drop the R word on it. But anyway, I bought his old Steelys, and I bought his half-worn-out KO2s.
Okay.
And they fit, believe it or not, without a lift or anything like that. But I also bought his old springs because he had his old FJ springs actually fit. The nice thing about these Toyota models is, you know, I have a 1998. He has a 2014. But the rims... And the lugs are, everything's the same size, so it worked out perfect.
Are they six lug?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And the springs from his FJ, they were a little tight fitting into the holders underneath. They kind of like were rubbing on the sides of the frame, but it's so tight down there, every once in a while you might hear a little ting or something like that. It lifted it just perfectly.
Nice.
Yeah, so.
Turned out it sits real nice up there. I didn't take a nice long look at it, but it's got a nice... stance, as they say.
It looks good. It is not functional at all. And it is so slow, it will blow your mind. I stomped on it the other day. I was just like, man.
Especially with the bigger tires and rims.
And I don't know how fast you're going ever either. So that's
fine. Does it have AC?
I don't know.
Just, It's never going to get turned on because it's going to drop 50 horsepower.
Well, it's got the slide down rear window, so really, who cares, right?
Yeah, right on. It's a good first car for the sun, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, well, like I said, maybe we'll do a little walk around on that sometime and show it off.
Sweet.
Well, what else have we been working on? Well, I fired a kid at work. I wasn't putting that on here to brag, but I just want to talk about this is the kind of stuff that I have to deal with in my job. You know, just, you know, like, hey, having a bad day or I'm having a good day, and then somebody screws up so colossally, and it was on multiple cars in the span of like a day.
Yeah, it's
like,
not good.
Dude, you're done. Yeah. And so one car, he'd left handprints on the hood. The window was down. It was raining. He put a lube sticker in it. I'm like, oh,
just kind of the basics.
There's a cluster. And then another one, he left a drain plug loose, so much so that truck lost all of its oil. Didn't damage a truck, thank God. But
wow,
you know,
see, I always hear stories about that. I've had a couple friends that have taken their cars or wife's cars or whatever to lube places, and I hear that, and I'm like, how can you like? That's such a basic thing to tighten.
There's a holy trinity, is what I've told my guys. And that's me being a Catholic here, but it's lug nuts, drain plug, and oil filter. Those three, you can screw anything up on an oil change, but you can't screw those three.
Put the wrong viscosity oil in. Big deal.
Don't
drain,
care.
Whatever.
Don't care.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really.
Don't put the lube sticker in there. Leave greasy handprints all over the car. You're probably not going to get fired. But you leave one of those three things loose, or you leave a wheel loose. I've seen guys get fired immediately for a wheel falling off a car.
Yep.
Oil filters not being put on a car. You know, believe me, you do this for 20 years, I've seen just about everything.
But,
but this kid.
That's unfortunate.
Sorry. He told me today he was getting a job at Firestone. I thought, well, that's good. Have a nice time over there. So.
Note to self.
I didn't say which Firestone.
No, no, no.
this was the coolest thing that I've seen in a long time. So this is not a project that I was actually, I mean, I was kind of part of it. I don't know if you know this or not, but when Tesla bought their factory from Toyota, the NUMMI, New United Motor Institute, or whatever they called it, that was the joint plant of GM and Toyota in the 80s. Well, they sold that to Tesla, and I think there was some tax incentive with California to sell that to Tesla.
Okay.
But as part of that deal, Toyota and Tesla said, well, let's make some cars together. So they made electric RAV4s for about 4 years. And we've had a couple of those electric RAV4s that we bought off lease, and we have two sitting in the lot right now.
No kidding.
Very cool cars. They have Tesla batteries. They have Tesla motors.
Okay.
And you get about 110 miles on a charge, and they drive like a dream.
Full electric.
Full electric. You know, I got this nifty remote thing that you and I should do a remote drive on one of those sometime.
Yeah, I'd love to.
It would blow your mind.
Are they built pretty much like Tesla motors that were in the later Tesla-branded cars?
Yeah.
So almost identical.
So the project we worked on this last week was one of the motors had a bearing going on. You could hear a howl when you were going down the road. It wasn't excessive, but it was there, and the vehicle was under warranty, so we're like, we're going to get this fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that took like 90 days to get the part. No big deal. The vehicle was drivable in the meantime. But we get this crate that basically, it reminded me of like Indiana Jones in the first movie when
the
Ark of the Covenant box shows up.
Don't look at the lights.
Yeah, and it's heavy, and it's like stamped, and on the side there's a big red Tesla symbol on the side of it.
Yeah.
Open it up, and it's like, it's the drive motors, the dual drive motors, and the transmission just sits sandwiched in between them. I don't know if you've seen what I'm talking about.
I've seen pictures from the guy's YouTube clip that you shared a long time ago.
Okay.
Rebuilds the wrecked Teslas.
Yeah. The two drive motors, they're big and they're heavy. I mean, obviously they're electric motors. But then you have this little drive unit sandwiched between them that outcrops off of it like a lobe. That's where the two axles pop into it. And that's it. I mean, we're talking a battery, goes to a control unit, goes to an electric motor and drivetrain. And we literally had those motors out and that drivetrain out with the axles disconnected and swapped out. 2 hours.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. It was. And that was because it was our first time. I had a friend of mine who works at Tesla said it's a 30-minute job for guys who know what they're doing.
Still, though. So numbers-wise, how many of these electric RAV4s by Tesla were there?
I don't know the number. Probably 10,000 if I had to guess. Maybe some low number like that.
And the warranty still covers stuff?
Yeah. They had an 8-year, 100,000-mile battery warranty on them.
So this is what, early 2000s? Or, no, no.
No, 2010? 2012 through 2014, I think.
Wow. Okay. I've never even, first of all, this is all news to me. I didn't know they actually made one. Because I know that Toyota's been in the hybrid game for so long. I didn't know that they had kind of partnered up. What do you think this was about? Was it about just trying their stuff in a different platform, or
I notice all these companies, and Toyota does this a lot too. They'll work with BMW on this car. They'll work with Chevy, of course, on some cars. I think everybody has a relationship in these when they do this stuff to try and steal something from each other.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tesla was trying to get some production information from Toyota on how to run, you know, how to build a car.
Could be.
Because I'm sure they know squat about it when they started that.
Right.
And vice versa. Toyota definitely wanted to know some of the battery and, you know, some of that stuff. But
yeah, that's always been Tesla's strong suit, right? The battery tech.
I would agree. Yeah, their battery is superior as far as what I've seen and the way it's set up underneath the car. It's a clean package. They do a good job with it. So
cool. So you got two of those, and those are customer cars. They're not on the lot for
actually,
sale.
Actually, no, they're both for sale right now.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you and I need to drive one for the show. Just whenever you get time sometime.
Sure. Yeah.
Or I'll even come up to your place next time we do a show. I'll drive one.
It
will blow your mind.
Love to check it out.
Yeah.
And it probably still drives like a Toyota RAV4.
Yeah, but it's faster.
It's a little quicker.
I want to autocross it is what I want to do.
There you go. There's an idea.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things involving four wheels and, you know, some neat tech, I finally got my rims back from the powder coater so I can drive my Tahoe in the winter.
Yeah, but I saw you got those shiny rims on when you pulled up here.
Good
thing winter hasn't started, Daryl.
Winter has been really good this year because it's been pretty late. For those who are just catching this, I got a 99 Tahoe with an LS swap in it. It's a fun truck. It's got some big 20-inch blades on it and some summer tires. And does not do good in the snow. How about that? So put some weight in the back, and I got a set of 15-inch Chevy truck rally wheels. And they all had the same tires on them. A buddy of mine that I bought it from, everything was cool. Got them all dismounted, took it over to the powder coater. And both he and I missed the fact until they were all powder coated that one rim is a 15x7 and the other three are 15x8. They look identical, except one's just a little shorter. And of course, when I'm throwing them in the back of the car, I don't even care. They're all rusty and whatever. So I get them home and I'm like so excited. I got new center caps. Everything's cool. I got the tires ordered. Monday I was going to drop them off, and I go like Sunday afternoon and I'm like, wait a minute. Something just doesn't look right. And I got the tape measure out.
They're all sitting next to each other on the ground.
Yeah.
And just one of these things doesn't look like the other.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like a 4-year-old would have been able to pick it out. And, of course, I didn't. So, bottom line, short story, Chevy and GMC on those trucks from like the mid-70s to 91, I think they ran these things. They're very popular. They ran them in like 6-lug, 5-lug, 15x7, 15x8, 15x6.5, I think. There's different offsets.
Oh, my God. See, this is why I love Toyota in some ways, because it's just, like I said, with that 4Runner, it's the same damn wheel.
Same stuff.
Yeah, for 12 years.
And they later, I can't remember what year, I think the later ones in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, all the half tons went to 6-lug. And it's a little easier to shop for, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you do dumb stuff like I do. And so I finally found one through the Central Illinois Auto Enthusiast page, the Cars and Coffee
group. So I saw you posted it. You said, hey, can anybody help a brother?
Yeah. And,
somebody helped you out, huh?
Somebody did. I just went out to Chillicothe and picked one up, and we're going to be back in business hopefully before the snow flies. So that was my big adventure with used parts. So there's that. And then it was like 54, 55 degrees over the weekend. Got the propane refilled, did a little grilling, and fired up the Volvo, took that out for a little spin, and that was fun just to get something old out.
Yeah.
I noticed I think I'm going to have to put an oil pan gasket on the Plymouth, because there's a nice big dribble in the front.
It was just sitting in the garage.
Just sitting. I'm like, what the heck is this? It's either oil pan or, I don't know, some other part underneath that's leaking oil. I'll figure it out. But
now, my boss said that as a Chrysler dealer through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, you just basically kept an oil catch-all underneath any new car sitting on the showroom floor, because that's just what they did, right?
Yeah. So. A lot of the older ones too, you know, the rear main seals will leak if you don't fire them up and run them around. So,
yeah.
My 47 Chevy likes to leak out the rear main seal. If I drive it every day, if I take it to work in the summer every day for a week, it drives a bone. Life's great. If I sit it there for more than a week, it's like everything hemorrhaging underneath. So yeah, I keep a little bit of cardboard in the garage. I want to get one of those nice big not stainless, but like the aluminum drip pan, galvanized pan. But then the thought of me having to actually like clean that out.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's gross.
It seems excessive to pay a bunch of money for a pretty catch pan, right?
Yeah, when it could take cardboard and, you know, yeah. start a fire
you need
with
spare
it.
Spare cardboard, I could help you out. Yeah. We got cardboard every day.
Environmentally friendlier, sort of. All right, so we're gonna turn our sights here. We were kind of slapstick in the last episode. We're gonna get more serious and do a little recap of the news.
We need some serious hard hitting news music. Dun dun yes. dun 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 dun.
We're gonna work on that.
Yeah, I did enjoy slipping a little music in. I don't know if you heard the Pink Floyd I put in the last show.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That was pretty great. And then the previous show when you put the Queen in there, I think we've kind of started a little something.
So the production values are getting better, folks.
Yeah, yes.
Our budget.
With every new listener, we add a new feature.
That's right. So news theme. Okay, that's next time. We'll get a better one.
So we're going to start with world news. This is an interesting story. It was on the front of Automotive News. It's three feared dead as a salvage operation mission is launched for a disabled car carrier in the Pacific. Nissan confirmed that 3,500 cars were on board the troubled ship. Merchant vessels responded to distress calls and rescued 16 members off the large car carrier adrift in the Pacific. It's about 1,800 miles northwest of Hawaii. And it's a roll-on, roll-off vessel that holds 5,200 vehicles. It was headed to Hawaii and the U.S. mainland ports with Nissans and possibly other vehicles. This is kind of crazy to me because you think in this day and age, we're such – I don't want to say we are – We are masters of the world,
yeah.
Yet you throw 5,000 vehicles and you still are throwing the dice when you send it across the ocean.
A lot can happen.
Yeah, it is nuts. I mean, I just don't even think that there's that much variable anymore when you produce this stuff. I'm sure insurance companies love this stuff.
Well, yeah, and a lot of the shipping companies, I'm sure, depending on what you're shipping, I'm sure insurance is kind of a nightmare. Because think of it, if it was a boat full of like Lexus or Mercedes,
yeah.
Lexi? I don't Lexi. Whatever.
If it was Prii and Lexi? Yeah.
Some ship full of, you know, each one of those things close to 100 Gs a piece goes up in flames.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying some $15,000 Nissan Sentras aren't, you know.
That's fine.
Okay.
No, it's just, I don't know.
Three people died, Daryl, for God's sakes.
That is horrible. I'm not making fun of that at all.
So this, I was reminded of when BMW had their loss of all their motorcycles in the Atlantic Ocean, and they were just like washing on the shores of England. But then you said something about that Mazda had some kind of a shipwreck a couple years ago, too.
No, not the same. I don't think it was a fire. I forget what it was. Something happened with the ballast or something where the ship was listing to like one side, like hardcore. And the cars sat at a pretty steep angle for a long time. I think it was like 3,000 cars, 2,500 cars. And Mazda wound up saying they wouldn't sell them as new because they didn't want to take on the liability. So they, I don't know, like we were talking a little before the show.
They had to be in Mexico. They're probably all driving around Argentina right now.
Probably.
Because that's what they do.
Yeah.
Let's send them to a company or a country that doesn't really have the high safety standards and the warranty. We can kind of pay off the government a little bit and say, hey.
Yeah, these are good. These are safe. Wink, wink. Well, I wonder, we were talking too, like what could go bad? And you said maybe
I think the battery is probably the bigger. Well, and there might be just some damage to, you think. Are they chained down at the wheels? Are they strapped down across the hood? I don't know how these cars are secured on these things.
Yeah.
It might just be parked.
Parked.
Possibly. But yeah, I was thinking battery acid. If you're a 30-degree angle, possibly.
Leaking out on some wiring harness or something.
And maybe antifreeze from an overflow, possibly. But, I don't see how that would ruin the paint or do any damage to the car.
It sucks. It's just like something brand new just getting written off is just really hard to watch, no matter what it is. So
yeah, it just seems, like I said, it seems crazy to me. First off, those vessels are huge. So when they say there's like a fire and one of these things goes adrift or something like that, you're thinking, well, how big could the fire be? You know, how bad could this be? But
it's a city on fire in the ocean. That's what it is. It's like cruise ships. Whenever there's some disaster on the cruise ship, like, oh, that's a bunch of people had a really bad experience. Like, no, it's an entire city of raw sewage exploding at once.
Yeah, trapped together.
Good luck.
Oh, boy.
I don't like boats. You like boats?
I'm okay with them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize. I went on that trip to Alaska this year, and I realized that I can handle this, but I'm fine.
Yeah. I'll stick with four wheels. boats and planes. I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
Do you want this next one?
I'm going to let you handle this one because you're pretty passionate and pretty...
I wasn't passionate about it. I just found it very interesting because anybody who knows Carlos Ghosn, I guess that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Anybody who knows that name knows that this guy was a leader and a captain of industry, and he's kind of had a fall from grace here. So the headline is, former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn is expected to spend New Year's Day in a Tokyo jail. I'm sorry if this is a little post-dated. We're about 7 days past the new year.
We're catching up. We're catching up.
But I think he's still in jail, as I just recently read. After court chose to extend his stay until January 11th in the wake of new allegations of financial misconduct, the Asian Nikkei Review reports that he'd been behind bars since November and has served a fresh arrest warrant December 21st for allegedly transferring personal investment losses to Nissan 10 years ago in 2008. The publication said Goshen has denied the allegations. I just can't believe that a guy with this much money would just monkey. I mean, the guy is set for the rest of his life. There's no doubt.
Like, why would you screw with that?
Yes, why would you do something this petty, this stupid, even if you had investment losses?
Either we were talking a little beforehand, too. It's either arrogance or total stupidity or greed. I think it's just a mixture of all of that.
This guy could have been the Sergio Marchionne. He could have, he could literally have the money and the funding to be the Elon Musk, the firebrand leader. But this guy is totally at a fall from grace.
I want to know what he was, what he was invested in. They took a dump.
Yeah.
You know, like, was he investing in, like, Sears stock? Like, what was?
That'd be too recent, Daryl.
JCPenney?
It was probably Kmart.
It was probably Kmart.
Yeah.
Venture. No, I don't know. It's interesting to see. And you're always going to get caught. In the day, it's just like when people rob banks today. You can't get away with anything anymore, period.
I told you, you can't dump a body anywhere.
You scare me sometimes. All right.
No, I just – this story intrigues me, and it's ongoing, and I forgot that it was existing. We hadn't really talked about the news in about a month or so between our podcasts, and Goshen has been below the radar. And I think we might have to start having a moment of Goshen.
Yeah, who knows? I know that Nissan is not the company it once was, and I love a lot of the classics, especially when we start talking about innovative Japanese cars of like the 70s and 80s and even 90s, like 300 ZX twin turbos and stuff. I mean,
the 300 ZX, man, back in the day.
Glorious. I would even take a mid-90s like Nissan pickup because those things are nice, indestructible.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're a good truck.
But at the same time, today I know there's also like some joint venture stuff where they acquired like an ownership stake in Renault and I think Mitsubishi recently.
Oh, God.
So
whose desperation move was that?
I'm like, so let's say, take a...
I didn't even know Mitsubishi was still around. I mean, I hear them still howling over there in Bloomington because I listen to radio every once in a while.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, come to O'Brien Mitsubishi. I'm like, what are you selling over there?
Like the Outback. That's about it. The Outback Sport. Okay. Outback. That's super. The Outlander.
Outlander. Yeah. Okay.
And then what's the little tiny, the Mirage?
They still make the Mirage?
Yeah. They came back. It went away for a while. It was like the little tiny hatchback thing. They came back out as like a microcar.
Yeah.
And I think that there was like an EV version of that they were trying to make out of.
Oh, I remember the golf cart there because the city of Normal bought like 50 of them.
For like what, parking enforcement or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Meter maid. Sorry, parking enforcement is the modern version of, anyways.
Anyway.
I'll tell you what, that is interesting to see. We'll follow the Carlos Goshen, the tales of Mr. Goshen. You're never going to get away with anything, especially if you're a high-profile former big shot. You can't just have a duffel bag and
I guess
whatever.
I just can't figure out how somebody who has the world by the tail just lets it all slip away like that and now spends time in jail. Just it's a life wasted to me. I don't get it. I apparently do not have enough money. Because I don't understand.
You can't be bothered by those things.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Crime doesn't pay, kids.
Yeah.
All right, so national news. You want to take this one?
Sure, Daryl. I'll read all the news articles tonight.
Okay, that's great. for folks who are just tuning in, we usually do a pre-show outline and we color code everything.
Oh,
and
I'm sorry.
And Eric put this in regular black ink and I don't know what's mine and what's his.
Oh,
it's all his.
It's whatever you want to do, Daryl. I don't really care.
I don't care.
We can double up on this here. So, national news here: General Motors has the dubious honor of hitting 200,000 total electric vehicles sold in the United States by the end of 2018, reaching the threshold that triggers a phase out of the $7,500 tax credit over the next 15 months. A person briefed on the matter said on Wednesday. I'm not sure where I got this article from. Oh, Automotive News. So, the world's largest automaker reached that figure in the fourth quarter of 2018, which means the credit will fall to $3,750 in April and then drop to $1,875 in October for 6 months. The credit will completely disappear in April of 2020 The 200,000 figure covers GM's cumulative EV sales since 2010. The tax credit is aimed at defraying the cost of electric vehicles that are more expensive than similarly priced internal combustion engine vehicles, and in 2009, Congress set the phase-out threshold at 200,000 per manufacturer. This is really interesting to me because in the era of the Trump administration, first off, I don't know that they will ever bounce this number back up. We've hit this wall a couple times now. I remember a couple of years ago when they had the Prius plug-in that we had to people were really getting upset because they didn't know. There was like this gray area. Do I get the full credit or do I get the half credit? And we're all like, we think you're still in the 7,500 or whatever. But
was it a date cutoff or something?
Well,
or?
No, it's when the units are sold.
Oh, gotcha.
And so nobody really knows.
Okay.
It's like this gray area. So you're kind of like, well, the markets or the numbers we're getting from the manufacturer say you should still be in the big rebate area.
Yeah. But is that really why people – I mean, does that – I know it's a nice figure.
It is a nice figure.
But is that something that's going to put somebody over the edge? I mean, or do people just buy those cars because they want to buy them?
I think that it – just like what they said there, it makes it more attractive. I think it's the government helping a business out. You know, what do mm-hmm. we call that? Crony capitalism a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're helping one side – not helping another. So,
yeah, good point.
Is it fair? I don't know, but it's an incentive for new technology. I mean, it's the same thing as Ameren giving you money off your electric bill if you put something in for electric or geothermal right. or something like that. You're trying to steer the consumer to do something that hopefully makes smarter choices for the environment or for the electrical grid or for energy consumption in the United States. I don't know. I don't know enough at this point in my life to say that this is better because I don't know the strip mine in China that's ripping lithium out of the ground,
right.
you know, and have kids doing it with their bare hands and right. sending it over here
right.
is better than me puffing on the exhaust pipe of exactly. an internal combustion car that could possibly last for 500,000 miles versus this electric car that, you know, that battery is toast after 200,000 miles. There's so many variables. It's going to yeah. be... Our life for the next 20 years is going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, it's going to be one big trial, and I want to see how this technology ages because we're starting to see – do you see right now in your day-to-day, do you see older hybrids coming in for full battery replacements
yep.
and
yep.
things like that?
I saw one the other day, and a girl was crying because she had a first-gen Prius.
Is that like the sedan looks
yeah,
kind of like a
– it was just okay. a tiny little car, and it was known just to literally just shut down. You know, you could just be
really? –
I would just drive down, boom, I'm out.
So yeah. like a cell phone?
Yeah.
It goes from like 80% battery to 4% and yeah. then shuts off.
I'm done.
No Except more, you're trying to get to work.
No more driving. Oh, and those electric cars, when they shut down, the wheels don't turn either because the electric motor just seizes in place.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, yeah. They don't move. You can't put them in neutral.
So even a Prius nowadays?
Yeah, you put it in park and you take the battery off of it, uh-huh. it's not going anywhere. You're not releasing those wheels. You got to put them on casters to get them up on a trailer.
So if you have to, you break down or something, you got to flatbed it.
Yeah.
You're going to... drag it kicking and screaming up there.
Oh, yeah, and I love when you see those tow truck drivers don't know what they're doing, and they buck one on there or buck it off.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Really? Really? Is this why you paid a premium for Joe's Towing? Sorry, Joe's Towing. We'll take your sponsorship anytime.
Seriously? You got a cast like Gojacks?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a pain. I didn't even think about that.
Well, yeah, as far as I know, all electric cars are like that. So anyway.
Way to go,
So she needed Elon. A battery overhaul. But the car is a $3,000 car tops retail, maybe $2,000.
And what's a full battery replacement?
Oh, a full battery is like $3,000 factory for a factory part. And there are guys now.
Can you go to Batteries Plus?
That's not a joke.
Seriously? They'll do it?
No, not Batteries Plus. But you can on Craigslist or you can on Facebook Marketplace right now and you type in battery repair or hybrid battery repair.
Uh-huh.
There's a goon out there. And I've used him at the store to replace single cells in the batteries on some of these cars. And we actually did one ourselves on a Prius here a while back.
Okay.
Because we're starting to get a knack for it. And we have the tools. We just haven't been trained by the manufacturer for it. But it's coming.
Okay.
This is going to be the fringe market. Because what's going to happen is these cars can't go away. And people aren't going to spend $3,000 to fix it. And if they can get the car fixed for $700 or $800, they're going to do that.
Yeah.
And as this technology becomes so pervasive and more people know about it, there's going to be less people scared of opening these things up and doing it. So
even though they have giant stickers with illustrations of people being electrocuted.
Hey, I see videos of people in Pakistan tying into live wires to, you know, electrocute their homes.
That's
so
true.
So believe me, somebody's going to be trying it.
What's no user serviceable parts inside. I love that. That sounds like a challenge.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways. All right. So that's interesting. We'll see what happens with that tax credit there. We're going to sharpen up here and get to some local news here in the great state of Illinois.
Yeah, so says you.
These are facts. Nah, I don't know. We got some new laws in the books, right, Eric?
Yeah. So the first one, well, actually, the only one that I care about, and I don't even really care. I don't have kids this young. But as of 2019, if you're a parent of a very young child, you have to make some changes to your child's safety seat. Change took effect this week on the Child Passenger Protection Act, requiring infants to ride in rear-facing safety seats. Like you and I said before, we were talking, I don't know of a child that doesn't sit in a rear-facing seat who's an infant.
Yeah.
And I think the rule was cast down. The kid has to be like 20 pounds or something like that now. But again, this it seems like a no-brainer, but God, how many things are no-brainers out there that the people don't do?
Well, I mean, I think gone are the days where you'd be in a drive-through somewhere and see, you know, four kids in the back seat of a Cutlass Sierra dancing around with no seatbelt. I don't think that happens anymore, at least to the extent it used to. But we've definitely passed different laws, booster seats, you know, for kids up to, I was at 60 pounds or something like that. I mean, there's, I'm not a parent, and if I was, I would be a mess because of all the different laws and regulations and things. And
the center armrest when I was a kid was definitely a car seat. That's what a center armrest was, right? I mean,
right.
I mean, my brother in the 70s, he would sit on the center armrest of my parents' 78 Chrysler New Yorker.
Big car.
Yeah, it was a great car.
And, that was a booster seat.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. He'd just sit right there between my parents. And then when my dad had slammed on the brakes, my brother got his lip caught on the ashtray. He was hanging out.
No.
No scars to this day, so it's okay. But he was bleeding pretty good. But, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the way it was. You know, just
Now it's humor.
Yeah. Now it's back seat, face the rear. Got a little mirror so you can look in your mirror at your kid who's looking at you in the mirror. And you're like, hey, back there. And the kid's got to be like, what is going on?
Kid's already flipped down. He's 2 months old. He's flipped down the DVD out of the headrest.
And they wonder why kids don't want to drive anymore.
Yeah, that's because we've taken all the fun out of it.
Exactly.
Taken all the danger out of it.
Daryl, I'm going to let you have this next story. I've denied you all the stories at this point.
Danger is my middle name. Speaking of danger, we're going to talk about Uftring Chevrolet. Uftring, of course, in Washington. That dealership caught fire January 5th of 2018. It was a horrible experience. You probably remember.
Big social media thing. To me, it was probably one of the coolest things about social media is there was news reporters streaming on Facebook and the local local news reports and stuff, and there was drone coverage. I mean,
yeah, they were all over it, and it was true to form. It seems like there's always bad fires in the middle of winter when pipes freeze, when hoses freeze. They actually ran out of water pressure in Washington when they were fighting this because I forget how many alarm fire. I mean, how many different companies responded to it.
It was huge. I think everybody even from South Pekin and Hopedale and everywhere else was coming in for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely a tragedy. They lost lots of cars. Nobody, thankfully, was killed or seriously injured. I think there was a little bit of smoke inhalation from some guys in the shop early on. But
yeah. And there were some people who got commendation too for getting all the customers out and making, it was
like noon or summer afternoon, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were still at work. I remember when it happened, and it was a pretty big deal. And I think Gary Uftring had some of his classic cars in there too, one of his vets or something like
that. Yeah, they had a lot of customers' cars inside that got damaged. A lot of stuff around the lot. They basically just kind of locked everything down and got out what they could. But I mean, mechanics' tools. Now, suffice to say, that happened just over a year ago. What happened right after that, Washington, of course, very close-knit community. They've been through some stuff. They were through the 2013 tornado. They're just a good group of people. So when that all went down, a former Walmart property just up the road was actually on the market for sale or lease, and they decided to kind of let Gary Uftring and his team move in there temporarily while they rebuilt the dealership. So that dealership, the brand-new Uftring Chevrolet, is opened. It is in the I think it's in the same building.
I think it's in the same spot.
Location,
I would assume it is, yeah.
But they basically went through all new state-of-the-art equipment, diagnostic gear, technicians, tools. Everybody's got everything brand new, and they've fully recovered. So there's an interesting story on WMBD TV's website. They got some video on there. Definitely be cool to – we were talking before, Eric. It would be cool to check that out, see what they got.
It would be interesting because a lot of technology has changed. I mean, even 10 years ago since our store was built where I work, I mean, even the alignment technology has changed drastically.
Sure.
Our overhead reel system for oil and the way we run our air even just – like I was telling you, even how they heat the shop is interesting to me.
Yeah.
I would love to see it just to know, what they did. I mean, when given the options, when sky's the limit, Yeah. And I don't think Gary probably did Sky's Limit. It is the Washington store. And while that is a pretty big store, that's not his flagship. That's the one down in East Peoria.
Yeah, the big auto mall.
Yeah, the auto mall. But it would still be interesting to see if you had a new store to be built and you had insurance money behind you, what would you build?
Yeah, what's the most efficient? Just talking about heating and cooling, of course, here in the Midwest, you know, we get it all. We get blazing hot summers, we get tons of humidity, and then we get frigid cold winters. I remember going to the Chevy dealer when I was a kid. My dad's Chevy Club, Antique Chevy Club, would do a big swap meet in November at Bickers Chevrolet in Elgin, Illinois.
Bickers Chevrolet.
And I remember walking through there, and they had the giant heaters in the ceiling, the big gas-fired ones.
Oh, yeah.
Which were great if you didn't open the door. As soon as those doors opened for service, gone.
Yeah.
So that place would go from about 97 degrees to 20 degrees all day long. And I thought, man, these poor guys at work, not only as techs, but like even the service writers, they sit at the desk right in the front line and they just get whipped all day with that stuff.
Yeah. That's one thing I don't like about the auto mall is that all those desks for the service advisors are sitting right there in the lane.
Yeah.
And those garage doors open up. I mean, you see these guys wearing their coats and their gloves out there. They got the flip-up gloves and stuff. Like, screw that.
How you type on a computer, how you put the tickets in, and you're wearing Gore-Tex gloves. Anyways.
That's ridiculous. No, so that is great. I'm glad to see they're up.
Me too.
Yeah, that was a huge deal when it happened. So.
Yeah, Gary's a good guy, too. He's been through a lot, and just super nice guy. Nice collection of stuff, too. I know he's a big Corvette fan, loves Chevys, but he's also got some nice Fords in his collection.
Oh.
A couple of nice Mustangs. He had a really nice early 60s Galaxy that was set up like old NASCAR style. It was just beautiful.
Really?
Oh, beautiful car.
Yeah.
And then what else? We got. Are we going to do a little Moment of Musk?
It's kind of like a year in review Moment of Musk.
Okay. Do we have some new theme? Well, we'll plug the theme in post. But
Do you
want to break in your new mixer?
Oh, thanks, Daryl. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm such an idiot.
We did a little field research here beforehand to make sure this thing was up to the task.
Yeah, we try and do the Moment of Musk in 60 seconds. I'm going to tell you this one's going to get a little long. So,
all right,
here we go. And now your Moment of Musk.
Well done.
Thank you. All right. So Tesla fell just short of its promise to deliver 100,000 Model S and Model X vehicles during the year. They delivered 13,500 S's and 14,000 Model X's in the fourth quarter, raising the total for the year to 99,394 compared with about 100,000 in 2017. Well, this is almost 100,000 too. So what is about? Where's the wiggle room on that?
Roughly, give or take.
I'd say 3% is wiggle room, isn't it?
I would think so.
Anyway, company also announced on Wednesday that it was cutting the price of the Model X and the S and the Model 3 by $2,000 in the U.S. It will partially offset the expiration of that $7,500 tax credit we talked about earlier. In 2018, Musk also hit headlines with his bizarre incidents that included calling a British diver who helped to rescue the children in Thailand as a pedo, and also by most likely smoking pot on the Joe Rogan podcast.
I got to listen to that again.
It was a good. I haven't heard that one, actually.
Yeah.
As a result of his bizarre actions, the SEC demanded that Musk appoint independent oversight of the Tesla board. It was announced that the Oracle founder Larry Ellison and Kathleen Wilson Thompson, a VP and a big person at Walgreens, would join Tesla as independent directors. And that is your Moment of Musk. All right, I credit The Guardian for that article.
Love it, love it. We'll definitely follow up on that in the post here. We'll put some links up there so people can check that out.
Yeah.
Just a side note, Joe Rogan podcast I'm getting more and more into.
It depends on the guest.
Yeah.
He has some deep thinkers on there sometimes, and sometimes he has some morons, so... I love listening to Mark Maron. I'm a Maron guy. Let's not get on a tangent on the podcast,
yeah,
but we could definitely do that on an extra show sometime.
And Joe Rogan's quasi gearhead, right?
Is he?
Yeah, he had, I think he's got a Hemi Cuda. I think he Mopars. He's a big Mopar guy.
I thought he was just in eating bugs on TV or whatever.
Yeah, that's what made him famous.
Okay. All right.
All right. Anyways. And then I guess this last little chunk of news here, former Peoria Journal star business editor Matt Budell has left his news desk at One News Plaza and has taken a job at Autonomous Tough. That's one word, Autonomous Tough. Like stuff. But anyways, they do autonomous vehicle, I think software, servos, technology, stuff like that for self-driving cars and other apparatus out of Morton, Illinois. So if you interested in some of that stuff, check them out. I think they're growing. They're doing a lot of testing with the Ford Fusion and Lincoln MKZ platforms, and racking up a lot of test miles on Interstate 74. But kind of an interesting place, and we'll see what happens. I'm not sure what job he took, but wish him well in his endeavors, and it'd be cool to see what happens with that company because...
Yeah, I mean, we got Rivian in Bloomington. We got Autonomous Tough over here. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know about Morton. How many little companies are floating around here that we don't know about?
I would love to see something a little bit bigger land here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I know plants always seem to go, you know, the big plants go in like the right-to-work states, you know, like Mississippi, South Carolina, Texas, stuff like that. But we have – and Illinois, Illinois gets a bad rap. I'm not going to get in my soapbox and talk politics because that's just not smart. But I will say Illinois has, pound for pound, two really good, I guess, kind of – it's a good seed farm for – anything that has to do with agriculture, ag tech, agronomy, you know, soil, you know, you name it. And then there's just an awful lot of engineering knowledge all here between the different universities. I mean,
U of I, definitely.
U of I, Bradley's engineering department's phenomenal. You've got up in Chicago, Illinois Institute of Technology. You've got Northwestern, you've got just a ton of research hubs there, Argonne National Lab. You've got a lot of people here that are extremely bright and kind of moving the needle forward, as they say.
Yeah.
And I would love to see Illinois kind of be a big player in that. I mean, we used to be.
We used to be somebody.
We used to be.
Going to be a contender. I could have been a contender.
Now, I like the fact that this WUK article that you linked to is actually headlined, Journal Star puts headquarters space up for lease. Was that part of this article?
That was... the nugget that I pulled from that article was the Matt Budell, because it had to do with automotive stuff. But
okay,
so yes, Eric, the nugget of that story was gleaned from the much larger story, which is the Journal Star's leasing off some empty office space.
My God, man, between Journal Star and the local public radio station, we got all kinds of media failures going on right now.
I like to say the media landscape is changing.
Changing, okay.
Evolving.
So, evolving. Definitely doing that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, so, and then, what the...
All right,
so did I skip ahead?
No, we're done with the news now, Daryl.
I'm sorry.
We're going to talk about...
I got to stop color coding this, because I'm...
The pet projects, the personal interest articles. What is bugging you right now, Daryl?
Well, okay, just a couple things. Number one, after watching some Bears playoff games and...
Oh, you suffered through that?
Yeah, it was painful. Golden Globes, watching some
oh, you suffered through that too. Man, were you a masochist or what?
It was bad. They were both on the same network, by the way. It's like one set up the...
You watch TV with commercials. I don't know you.
Set me up to let me down again. Anyways, so a lot of commercials. And I just want to say this. I didn't write this out here. We need to stop the auto insurance commercials and the stupid jingles. Okay, like the farmers commercials, they started doing like...
We are farmers.
Boom, 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 boom. Okay, and then all of a sudden Liberty Mutual is like, oh, we need a jingle too.
Oh, what? They have a jingle now? I didn't know
that. They have a jingle now. And it just goes, Liberty, 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 Liberty. Like some copywriter and some jingle guy got paid a lot of money to be like,
Just say Liberty like five times or something.
What key is it?
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
I need to get rid of Flo.
I'm done with Flo. And what about the Gecko?
I'm done with all the Geico stuff. They started running, okay, the campaign now Geico is doing like, vote for your favorite Geico commercial.
Yeah, the caveman.
Run the caveman again, man. Those are funny. I still think they're
kinda
funny.
What if they were just not to spend all the money on this crap advertising and just lower my insurance?
Bingo. That's... Now you're thinking.
Yeah,
I think you need to stop making sense, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I use the Grinnell for my insurance company.
Because
the Grinnell, they're out of Iowa, and you know what?
Like, as in Grinnell, Iowa?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thing I've heard Grinnell.
Yeah, it's probably like Pekin Insurance, but you know what? Their rates are pretty competitive. They always help me out, never had a problem with them, and they don't spend money on useless advertising. So
sponsor potential?
I'm sure someday Geico or Liberty will buy them because their book is so solid. They need to pad theirs.
People just pay their bill and don't crash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just done with it. The auto insurance stuff, just one-upping each other and the nationwide stuff. I mean, let's get a guy from Hamilton to sing a jingle in a studio.
Oh, God.
Let's get Peyton Manning. Who cares? Anyways, done.
This is our world, Daryl. How can this be bothering? You're
terrible.
You're a cranky old man.
I am.
Get off my lawn with your insurance commercials.
And another thing, when I was your age, I mowed the lawn for money. All right, speaking of things I don't understand.
You didn't give it to
charity? No. What the hell is Turo? Have you guys seen the commercials for Turo?
Is it like Turo? Or is there like a little flair when you say it, or is it just Turo?
I don't know. There's no like umlauts or like weird stuff.
Okay.
If there is, I'm missing it. Okay. I was too busy yelling at my wife saying, what is this? So it's a car sharing service.
Poor Sarah.
Yeah, the long-suffering Mrs. Scott. There's a car sharing service called Turo that will actually let you rent your car out. It's kind of like an Airbnb model. You can take your stuff that you take really good care of and love and pay lots of money for and let someone else use it for a fraction of what you pay.
There you go.
And then they're apparently partnered with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I saw that.
Good luck filing a claim, though. That's what I want to – like Liberty Mutual is an insurance partner. So you can sign up and be like, yeah, I want to take my 2015 – Volkswagen Golf or whatever. Do they make golfs anymore? I don't care.
I don't think they do.
Anyway, so I want to take my my 2018 Corolla and like I'll put it up on Turo, and then for $50 a day, you can rent it out to someone and make some money as a quote hashtag side hustle. But what happens when?
Yeah, bro.
Because here's how this has worked for me. I'll just tell you this.
I can already tell you how my insurance agent would handle this.
So. Yeah. So I want to see if I can set my car to a rental place and then just like let somebody I don't know from the internet use it for a few days.
Oh yeah, totally cool.
Your insurance guy would never say that.
No, because as you laughed as you said it, you knew that it was almost like a gag call, to your insurance agent. Because here's the thing. My insurance agent like jumped my case when I told him, one, I Ubered for a while. He's like, don't do that.
Well, that's because you called the Grinnell.
Yeah, the Grinnell's like, you realize your homeowners and your car policies are tied together. If something happens to you in that car, and you have passengers,
yeah,
and it's not covered. Then you could risk your homeowner policy. I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. I probably shouldn't do that. And then I told them I was autocrossing. They're like, don't tell us that either.
Yeah, we don't need to know any of this. You know who would let you do that? The general.
The general? No, is he the guy who makes the steel garages or the insurance general?
The insurance. For a great low rate, the something, something.
Yeah, the general.
Yeah, he's got a jingle too, that idiot.
Let me tell you, when I was 18, I probably used the general because that's the kind of guy I was back then.
Well, I bought it when I bought my Mustang Cobra. I bought it and didn't even price out insurance. I signed all the paperwork, got home, was like, sweet. And I called the guy. I'm like, so I'm going to switch my cars and I'm driving this now. And he's like, yeah, this is like $1 bazillion a month. And I was like, oh, I made a big mistake.
Dad.
Yeah.
And then he's like, call your agent.
What do you want from me, kid?
So as far as the ride sharing goes, I think there will be a market for this. When you see those crowded side streets in Wrigleyville and stuff like that, and you park your car for maybe the whole week, there might be an opportunity for you to say, hey, if somebody wants to borrow my car. But, man, if you love your car, if you truly love your car.
No way.
No, I couldn't do it. I don't even like the smell that some people will leave in my car. Or you gonna wear your shoes in here? I mean,
You want to go to lunch? Yeah, where are we going? Is it somewhere Mediterranean? Is it somewhere with garlic?
Yeah, let's take your car because I don't want you guys in my car.
I don't know if that's.
I just can't imagine just letting people willy nilly. Because when they rent a car, they're not giving you the life. So it's not like when somebody rents an apartment from you and they have to you vet them. Hey, let's sit down. Let's have coffee and talk about what you're gonna do in my apartment.
Yeah,
and like 12 kids show up and three dogs and a cat, and you're like. Yeah, I think I already got somebody else renting it.
Yeah, I think I'm busy.
But no, these people could all show up and get in your car.
And I'm sorry, I just don't, at least with an apartment, the apartments that moi has rented, I sit down, you talk to the landlord, you meet him, you see the premises, and then you sign a legally binding document.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not going to do that.
I've got an app.
Turo's probably got an app. Yeah, you just put your thumbprint on there and you're legally bound.
Come on, man. I don't,
Daryl, get with the times.
Not a good way to make
your
money.
Your Volvo probably doesn't qualify anyway.
None of these do. No, they actually do have older, cool cars because they're like, because one of the things in the commercial is like, rent the car, rent something fun for the weekend. And there's like older, like MGs and.
Oh, now this might be fun just to do on a gag.
Maybe. But again, how are you going to call like Hagerty Insurance and be like, yeah, you know that 190 SL Roadster I spent 10 years restoring? Yeah, I'm going to let Susan from Cleveland rent that out.
Daryl, I think this summer, if we ever do one of those road trip things, one of those car cruises around the river road or something like that, we look on Turo and see what cars are available.
And just rent like the worst one. You could review them too. There was one, I felt bad because I did a couple screenshots here and the cars that were available locally, like there was like an S-Class Mercedes that looked pretty good.
Oh, so you downloaded it.
Yeah, and I'll put some of these.
How much was it?
Well, no, I didn't. I just took screenshots of what was on the website.
Oh, so there wasn't an S-Class sitting in Peoria for you to rent.
Yeah, well, there was. Hold on.
All right.
Those are screenshots of.
I'm going to put a little music in the background.
Thank you. All right, so yeah, Lincoln MKS 2010. So older, right? Mercedes-Benz, I'm sorry, C-Class 2016 for $57 a day.
Okay.
And then you review your car.
Okay.
Right? And then this one
here. It's like an Uber rating.
2010 Chevrolet Aveo for $21 a day, one star. And there were people complaining, like, the car's very small. Like, no kidding. It's an Aveo. There's a picture, and it's $21 a day.
It's made by Suzuki, isn't it?
I paid that for lunch the other day.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, what do you...
Yeah, I went to the Italian restaurant in Pekin and spent twice that.
What's up top there?
Tesla 3. Yeah. What's that going for?
2018 Tesla 3. 8 trips so far. 161 a day.
Ow.
Yeah, that's beefy. And then a 2016 Audi Q5, which I think is their...
God, it would be fun, though, just to get in that 3 and just hammer the shit out of it. Sorry. Put the explicit rating on the show.
But at the same time, like, what... I don't know, man.
I mean, that's what rental car... See, that's the other thing. I know how I drive a rental car. I sure as hell don't want to let other people drive my car the way I drive rentals.
It's the same reason people are like, I bought a used car from Enterprise. Really good deal.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You'll be putting a transmission in that bad boy.
Probably so.
No, it's just like a new car.
It needed brakes at 40,000 miles. I don't know why.
It's got 3 accidents on Carfax. It's fine. Anyways, and then speaking of things that are in accidents, if anybody likes watching people spend nothing at auction and buy wrecks and then rebuild them, there's a guy on YouTube. He goes by Big Al's Bike and Auto. You can search him up. He's just all one big word, YouTube.com/user/Big Al's Bike and Auto. It's a guy who used to be in Miami, and then somehow he ended up in New York. I don't know why. Why would he do that? I don't know. Running from something.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually a woman.
Due to pending litigation.
Yeah, it's usually legal reasons or a woman.
Yeah. Anyways, this guy goes to auctions and for all day long buys cars for $225, $300, $500, fixes them up, and either sells them or keeps them, including – I watched – there's a two-part video of him redoing a – it's like a 90 Dodge Dynasty.
Oh, a K car?
It's a K car. And he's like, I've always wanted a K car. And this one had the V6 in it. Had like 54,000.
A small V6.
Yeah, it was like a 3-liter or something. But for that car, does okay. But it had 50,000. Oh, it was funny. It's a kind of a rose metallic, and it comes across the line. Nobody's bidding on this thing because it's so old. It's just like, what? You know, it's a grandma car.
Yeah. And a half Landau top on it.
Yeah, this one's kind of a base. Okay. But yeah, some of them got real gaudy.
Yeah.
Right? My grandparents' neighbor had one. I was like, that's gross. But so he buys this thing, and of course, for $200 plus tax, I think he's out the door for $360. He's like, you know, the thing runs and drives. It's got low miles. Who cares? And he gets in the car, pays all his stuff, and he's got to drive it home.
Yeah.
He's got to leave the lot by 4:30 or otherwise it starts charging him storage, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets in. I think his girlfriend or his wife is, like, following him. And he gets in, and the thing won't shift out of first gear on the way home. And I love it because...
But it's probably like a bushing thing or something like you were having with your car.
Yeah, it was a sensor. It was like a little, like a upshift sensor or something. I mean, $20 at AutoZone, he's done.
Yeah.
But it was fun just watching this guy take some... He's like, man, he's like, I can't lose on these things. Plus... He's like, I got a beater with a heater. I don't care. But, yeah, it was just funny to watch someone like, oh, $200. This thing's great. Low miles. He gets in. It won't shift. He's like, oh, man. He's all ticked off. And yeah. I'm like, dude, it's a $300 car.
Dude, that's funny. You know, Daryl, you would be that guy. I have 10 acres here.
Yeah.
And if you had access to 10 acres.
Red Green Show.
And a dealer license, you would probably have this whole place filled up in about 10 years, I imagine.
The sad thing is I wouldn't sell the stuff.
I know.
That would be my – and I always justify it. I don't know if you do any of this. Like, oh, I could get – you know, you buy something just because it's a good deal. Or
yeah.
You fix it up, whatever. Yeah. It's like, oh, if I were to sell this, I could get, you know, twice what I paid for it. Are you ever going to sell it?
No.
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 Do you do anything like that with chainsaws? Don't you have like 20 chainsaws?
Two. I have two.
Okay, that's not bad.
But they're both farm bosses. One of them's an old farm boss, and I love the old. I should get rid of it, or I should take it in the shop and get tuned up and resell it.
Yeah.
Because that new farm boss I got, my God, man, talking about cutting down trees and you know, Babe the Blue Ox and all that stuff. Paul Bunyan. I felt like Paul Bunyan this weekend. So we'll get to that in my car of the week.
Yes.
Here.
All right.
Are we ready?
Let's do it. Yeah. We need a car of the week theme song too. Yeah. I'm taking notes, Eric. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna do just do cars of the week like Pigs in Space for me right now.
What's Pigs in Space?
You don't remember Pigs in Space
from the Muppets?
Yeah.
Yeah, but was there a theme?
Yeah. Pigs in Space. Do cars of the week.
Okay, I can do that.
All right. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Cars of the Week.
Very nice.
Thanks.
Thank you, Daryl.
I forgot Pigs in Space. I'm sorry.
How do you forget Pigs in Space?
I remember the bit. I just don't remember the intro. I got to rewatch all the Muppets.
All right. All right. So let me tell you the rabbit hole I fell into this weekend, Daryl.
Okay. Go on.
So, yes. So I think it was 3 or 4 days ago when I was doing the show prep, because we do that here with the show, unlike any of my other podcasts. There was a clickbait for 6 of the most crazy cars you've ever seen in your life. I'm like, oh, well, I need to watch that YouTube video and see what that is. And it's stupid. It literally is like old film montages of this or that Russian vehicle. It was all Russian vehicles.
Ladas and like goofy stuff.
You know, like 8-wheel, like pivoting in the middle, just weird vehicles. But one of the vehicles that came on there was a snow cat from like the 1930s, 1940s.
Oh, cool.
It was basically like an old Ford truck that had these just, I don't even know how you describe these tank tracks. They had like 4 independent tank tracks before they came out, these triangular ones you see on the newer vehicles.
Yeah.
These are almost like pontoons that like swung wildly.
Okay.
And so when guys were crossing Antarctica and doing stuff up in the North Pole, they were driving these snow cats. Well, as I've been doing these shows, I've been doing all these classic cars. Like last time I did the Model T with the tracks on it. Before that, I did the resort truck, you know, yeah. Woody and stuff, yeah. Like that. I seem to be having a theme here. I'm like, man, what if I could find one of those snow cats? Well, there are no snow cats to be found for sale right now that I can find. Mm. And I'm a pretty good internet sleuth. So, but what I did find when I typed in snow cat was the Thoikl 1404 snow cat. And I call it the DeLorean of the slopes, Daryl.
It does not look like a DeLorean, but I see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, yeah. So Thoikl Chemical Company was founded in 1929, and there's a whole big thing here. They eventually were bought by Northrop Grumman, and they're an American corporation concerned initially with rubber and related chemicals, and later with rocket and missile propulsion systems.
Just, but, you know, hop, skip, and a jump from yeah, rubber, right?
And but for some reason, at some point, they produced a large range of equipment for ski resorts, including snowcats and snow grooming vehicles. These businesses were spun off in 1978 and restructured itself to concentrate when they restructured for rocket products. But then John DeLorean purchased the Thoikl snowcat operation, renamed it DMC. They continued to manufacture snowcats till 88, and the company was then renamed LMC. And then LMC did it for 12 more years until 2000, until they went out of business.
Wow.
So there's this is rabbit hole material. I mean,
yeah.
This is like going down the hole deeper and deeper. Well, first off, if you don't know what a Thoikl is, the snowcat, it literally is that industrial box that sits on top of two giant tracks. And you'll see them with plows on the front, or you see them pulling other stuff behind them. But they literally are just a rough and tough snow vehicle. And I do believe they probably could go anywhere.
Yeah, it looks like something you'd make from Legos.
Yeah, it does.
It's like
it's very basic.
A refrigerator with tank tracks on it.
Yeah, I don't know that the DeLorean looked a whole lot better than that in some ways. But
it looked better in Back to the Future than it did in real life.
Since DeLorean called it DMC, I wonder if his logo for DMC kind of looked like the DeLorean logo on the front of the cars.
I'm going to rabbit hole that later.
Yeah, yeah.
My folks met John DeLorean in the Detroit airport in 1987 when they were flying to Scotland.
How'd they know it was him?
Because my dad knows.
Well,
plus at that
genetic.
Time, John, well, yes. But also at that time in the 80s, John DeLorean was pretty well known.
He's a bit of a rock star.
Well, he got sent upstate for a little money cocaine thing.
Yeah, a little nose candy, I think. And then he was kind of like, him and Lee Iacocca were the rock stars of the era, right?
Yeah, and his wife was beautiful, Christina Ferrara. I think he was married to her. But I actually have his autograph. My parents, they said he had two like things of blueprints and a briefcase, and he was getting on a plane overseas.
What year was this?
This is 87. So I don't remember. This is after the
DeLorean's about the year he was getting ready to sell the snowcat operations. Maybe that, you know.
But I think he was flying over because the DeLoreans, if I remember correctly, were made in Belfast. They were made in Northern Ireland, the cars.
Okay.
So maybe he was trying to sell snowcats to the Irish. I don't know what he was doing, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways. The Shetland Islands.
Think it's snow?
Maybe. I don't know. Well, let's take this rabbit hole just one step further, Daryl.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but in 1986, it was found at fault that the Thoikl Chemical Corporation was the concern for the destruction of the Space Shuttle Challenger and the deaths of its astronauts. They provided those O-rings that failed in the solid booster rockets.
Yeah.
And that they're still around. But that was just one of their prominent things they did, I guess. I don't know if someone say this.
How do you recover from that, by the way?
I don't know. But right now, as of 2005, this Wikipedia article I found was pretty dated. 15,000 people work for them worldwide, and they have an annual sales of $840 million. So I wonder if they're still around. I should do some more Googling on that. Or maybe I should just stop now.
Yeah. The internet's a terrible place. It really is. So, but no snow cats. They don't make snow cats anymore.
And the worst part about all this was, there's no snow out here anyway, so what the heck was I looking at snow cats for?
Just because you appreciate the usefulness of something that like can go anywhere, do anything. Right?
It must be what it is. I seem to have.
That's why you like the off-road vehicles.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why you like, I don't know, chainsaws and chopping stuff outdoors. I mean, you're not going to let a little snow ruin whatever plans you had for the day.
We're going out to shop at Walmart.
What kind of motor? I wonder what motor's in these things.
You have to imagine. You know, the funny thing was, I did do some. I looked at some pictures of the interior of these, and they look like they should be spacious, like a living room.
Yeah,
they're really cramped in the back. I think they must have piled the engine up in the backside.
Oh,
because the cockpit kind of sits over the front tracks, and then I think the engine hogs up a lot of that back space. So there's space back there, like a cargo, like a military truck. Like you could have like some jump seats on the sides.
But yeah,
there's not a ton of space back there.
That's what you rescue people from. Whatever the hotel The Shining.
I think the Sly Stallone used one of those in Cliffhanger or something. You know.
Oh, you know what? I bet. I think there is one in there.
Is there?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Cliffhanger's great.
Yeah.
That movie gets ripped on so bad.
No way. Great movie.
John Lithgow's a bad guy in that, right?
And he played a good bad guy.
Yeah. He kind of played a creep in a couple movies like that. Raising Kane, Brian De Palma, Ricochet, which is one of my favorites. And people are like, oh, he's the guy from Harry and the Hendersons. I don't like him as a bad guy. I'm like, he's great because he's probably like that in real life.
I only knew him as World According to Gark when I was a kid. And I just knew him as a crossdresser, which I didn't even understand what that was when I was 12 years old.
What was this sitcom he was in?
Third Rock.
Third Rock. I never got into that.
Love Third Rock.
Really?
And that's where the kid, oh, my God.
Yeah. What's his name? In the Batman movies.
Yes. He's a superstar, too.
I want to say Jonathan Taylor Thomas. It's not. No, it's
wrong 80s sitcom.
No, it's the other kid my wife has a crush on now.
Yeah, I think I had a
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I had a bit of a man crush on him during when he was in Batman, the last one. I'm like, man, he'd be awesome as the next Batman.
But, he would be.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's happened with that. So thanks, Christopher Nolan, for ruining Batman.
Forever.
All right, so speaking of useful vehicles, Darryl, that you need to have in your 10-acre
resuscitate our car buying needs here. What do you got?
Well, I thought you were going to... Well, you got another one.
Oh, you want me to do it?
Yeah.
This is a bonus car. I didn't really want to do this.
Do you want to be lashed? Is that...
No, I'll throw this one in there. So...
go on. You got a story here.
It's all about rabbit holes with me this week. I swear to God. So I was looking up black locust poisoning because... What I ended up doing this weekend is I chainsaw. It's beautiful. It's 50 degrees on Saturday. Yeah. It was another 50 degrees on Sunday.
Nice weekend.
And so I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take down that nasty old black locust tree out behind the barn because it's scraping on the barn. It's rubbing the paint off of it. The turkeys are roosting up there. And when the wind blows, it sounds like hell because it's just screeching on the roof.
It sounds like a horror movie.
It does. Yeah. So I just went out Saturday morning. It was like 9 a.m. Put the chainsaw to work to start taking this thing down. Well, it's an old tree. The stump has got to be 2 foot wide. And old growth black locust, not too daunting. Doesn't look that bad. Yeah, whatever.
It's real hardwood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's yellow. It's not really oily, but you want to do this stuff in the wintertime because there's no leaves. It weighs a lot less. So I get it all knocked down. Well, the new growth on the top, there are thorns like you can't believe. I mean, they're poking through my shoes. They're going through my shirts. I have leather gloves on. I had the steel leather gloves on, and they aren't that good. I gotta get some like antique real leather gloves.
Yeah, chainmail.
Yeah,
because you got cut on that. I'm not gonna lie.
Dude,
I thought you played with the cat a little too rough or something. I don't know what's going on.
No, I got stabbed in the face. I was bleeding from the face. I have a bone bruise or something where one swung into my leg. Well,
ouch.
It's not a lie when they say that these things have like some kind of a venom in them because everything's like red and puffy, and my knee is still killing me 4 days later. So what I did, because I'm a WebMD kind of guy, I want to make sure I'm not going to die. And
Google, why is my hand going numb?
Well, I thought, what if that needle went through and hit the bone and went through the marrow and all that? Will I die or something? You know,
rabbit hole. You need to stop looking on anything on the internet. I think you need to be cut off for a day.
So I ended up on a forum for tree cutters, and. Where guys,
are you serious?
Yes, where guys were complaining about locust trees and everything else. And one guy said, well, I just pull up with a logging truck with a claw, and I take those things out. And I'm like, man, that's a pretty good idea. So then, of course, I have to Google logging trucks. So I find, yeah, I went to eBay, and then I went to another website. I went to, looks like it was mylittlesalesman.com. And this 19...
It's the worst domain name ever, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. It's probably like an auction site or something.
Maybe. But. It's their little salesman.
Wow.
This is a 1993 Marmon triaxle logging truck with a log loader. And this thing has a giant arm on it. And this would have just, I could have rolled up, saw, you know, just cut the bottom of the tree while it was gripping it and just thrown it in and never had to deal with any of this.
I think that's a totally logical reason why you need to spend $30,000 on this, like, 18-wheel articulated beast.
This is probably more car related than my last vehicle, so I'm probably better. This segment of the show is becoming a complete breakdown for me, I think.
There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs to buy something that's totally impractical because, like it or not, we're at a point in our lives. A lot of our friends are the same way. You get to your mid-30s, 40s, whatever, you get to a point where you're just like, I want something, I'm going to go buy it, within reason. You can buy. Yeah, I want a car to autocross with.
Mrs. Stahl, could you now listen to the show right now?
Yeah, we're just going to. Earmuffs. Yeah. You can actually go and buy, you know, a $1,000 car to autocross with. You want to buy an old truck to haul stuff around? $1,000.
It's cheaper than buying an ATV, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
A John Deere Gator is like $14,000 for a new one. Why don't I just buy an old truck?
Or one of those, what is it, Polaris Ranger or whatever? Like
they're
the four-seater.
Ridiculously priced.
Stupid. I buy an old Grand Cherokee and take the doors off and go beat around in it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's my next purchase. But the thing is you get to a point where you've got everything you want. You got all the practical things. Now it's time to just keep buying goofy stuff. And I've got a friend of mine, I was talking with Eric beforehand, a friend of mine needed to do some tree work around his house. He went to an auction over in East Peoria and bought a bucket truck from the city.
That's awesome.
And now he takes it out.
You see those for
times.
Sale all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Like $2,500, $3,000. You're like, that wouldn't be too bad.
See, the thing, of course, I would love to do something like that because there's times cleaning the gutters, fixing a little bit of roof here or there, do some flashing around the chimney, get the bucket truck out, man.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the trouble. Those things would sit 10 months out of the year.
Yeah.
The couple times you need to use it, I'll bet you hydraulic hose breaks, you know, some pump motor.
Electrical tape, Darrell. It'll be all right. A little fiber fix.
I went to True Value, put some heater hose and some clamps on. It's good. It's rated for what? 5,000 PSI? Anyways. So the car I picked this week is actually not a car at all. It's a 1947 Chevrolet Advanced Design school bus. It's a big one-ton bus with a aluminum body made by the Gillig Company, which is famous for making the Gillig Phantom series of buses, which is kind of the giant.
You didn't
bread
put
box
a picture
thing.
Of this one on there, so
no.
I'm trying to imagine this thing. You go ahead and keep talking about it.
I'll send the screenshot over to you, too. I did have a screenshot somewhere. Anyways, this is a kind of the cool, for our younger listeners, you guys remember the Jeepers Creepers movie with like the truck that chases people around?
No, I remember Christine with the truck that chased people around.
That's true. That was a Plymouth. But
no, there was a big. What was the one? There was a Stephen King movie where they
Duel.
Had,
you're thinking of Steven Spielberg's Duel,
where there was
the
Emilio Estevez that had the.
That's Repo Man. No, yeah. That's Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, is that where there was like faces on the trucks?
Yes, and, yes.
God, how many creepy car movies were there in the '80s? I forgot.
There was a lot. Let's talk about The Wraith. That's a whole other show. We could invite some.
There you go.
Movie.
Get Dustin
friends.
Over here.
Get Dustin over here from. Drunk of the Movies, and review some of that. Anyways, this is a 47 Chevy. It looks like the classic old Chevy pickups that everyone knows about, but this has a giant, kind of a shorty school bus body to it. And it's all aluminum, which for late 1940s, kind of a rare thing. Most of the bus bodies were still built in that era out of, sadly, wood framing and kind of a steel skin. Incidentally, Bluebird out of Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and I think somewhere in Georgia, were one of the first ones, I think, patented. A all-steel bus body in the late 30s. Anyways, this thing's aluminum. It's really cool. If you got out a buffer and you had an unlimited checkbook, you could turn this thing into like the coolest retro Airstream kind of RV.
Is it that like the yellow one there?
No. Yes, but smaller.
Okay.
It's on Craigslist. I'll send you the link. Did I put a link on there? Yeah, it kind of looks like that.
Oh, man, that is cool.
It would be. It still has some of the seating and stuff in it, and it's originally powered by a big straight inline six 235 splash oiler, not making a lot of power. I do like the original stuff. It'd be cool to see things, you know, restored to a factory original just because you don't see them that way. But to be honest, I think a nice Cummins diesel transplant with a modern driveline and, you know, some cool retro features, I think this would make a really cool RV.
And then we could put our podcast logo on the side of it. We could do mobile podcasting.
There you go.
And then when we make our first $1 million podcasting, you could write that off. I mean,
it's great when the Grinnell Insurance Company sponsors us.
That is a really cool truck. And what was the price on this?
This thing was like, I think, $5,000.
No.
$6,000, something like that. Which I'm surprised this stuff. Remember when aluminum was like through the roof a couple years ago and people were just like going through trash?
Okay, somebody just like ripped this thing down?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I love seeing old stuff like this that has survived because it's like, first of all, it's 70 years old, 72 years old. It's amazing it's still here. It's amazing nobody's ripped it out. And it's still kind of functional. But this thing being aluminum, usually a scrapper, especially if it's sitting out in a guy's field somewhere, it's like, I'll buy that for $500.
There's some stubborn farm owner who's like, yeah, I'm going to do something with that someday.
Someday I'm going to fix it up.
Yeah. Then finally he dies and his kids are like, get rid of that thing. Yeah,
right. Yeah, we're just going to haul it all to the trash.
That's the biggest fear anybody has, that everything they own, their kids are just going to scrap on them anyway.
Well, I bought a car from somebody like that.
Yeah.
His dad passed away, and he had tons of cars all over the property, and the county was like, you got to get rid of it. Looks more like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got that round kind of Airstream, kind of what they call canned ham look.
It's neat. You know? I like the, what do you call those, like the bifold windows?
Yeah,
those are neat. That remind me of like a 50s patio.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. I think that would be fun. I don't know. We'll see. I don't have any skills to do any kind of cool build like that. But I know there's some folks out there who do, and especially around here, there's a guy who goes by the name Rod at All. Have you seen his stuff?
No.
One of his things, I think he's got like a 59 El Camino that's on a big 4x4 chassis with a Cummins swap in it.
Oh.
And it looks like a monster truck, and you're like, that's bizarre, but it totally works. And he's got some big truck builds and things, wild stuff like that. This would be right up his alley.
What? Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
I give you credit for keeping it on the straight and narrow. I was like a friggin' hot mess looking at cars this weekend. So.
No, none of these are practical, folks. None of them.
Well, maybe we should make a New Year's resolution that every once in a while we'll just look at a normal car on Craigslist. Go, yeah, I'd like to buy that.
This is a 1994 Mercury Sable. What will we find?
I don't know. Maybe we should use that website. Maybe our car of the week will be the car we can rent in Peoria.
Could do that. You could also do like a price range. Like, okay, best thing for between $1,000 and $2,000.
So what we do is it'd be like Top Gear, where they have to buy a crap car and do something with it, except we wouldn't buy the car. We just pretend we're buying the car.
Right, and then hypothetically talk about what we would do with it. We should buy a car. That's what's going to happen at some point. You and I are going to find something. We're going to go to like some auction in Clinton and buy some car for $200 and just blow it up or something.
Yeah, I see stuff all the time on the Copar sites and stuff like that.
I'm like, can you buy that?
Huh?
You got a license?
I might know somebody who does.
For real?
Yeah. All right. So
we're going to take this discussion offline. So Copart, though, you see like decent stuff come through there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of cars that are totaled out or taken off the market and just sent to those places for repo and stuff like that. So you'd be surprised.
Interesting.
And not just the Pekin auction. They have Copar auctions all over the country. So you can search whatever you're looking for. In Texas, there was a Celica GTS with baked paint, and said it still ran. That's all it said, and it was like $200 for starting bid. I'm like,
well, you know, the shell's got no rust,
because
it's Texas.
Yeah, I'm like, I could just drive down there with a flatbed and pick that thing up.
Here's your $490.
I always have a problem when I get into these conversations dealing with the missus. She never sees the value in these conversations.
Well, you've got a lot of room you could hide stuff in 10 acres. I'm just going to throw that out there.
You know, I've bought cars without her permission, and it wasn't a pleasant thing when she found out. So
we need to do a whole other show on that too, because I remember as a kid, my dad has bought a couple without my mom's permission.
I bought two over the years, and told her later on.
Yeah, not good.
No,
you didn't have the vehicles here though, right? You stashed them at work.
No, that's the nice thing about work. I can keep them there for 6 months and then act like it never happened.
That certainly helps.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. Honesty is the best policy.
I'm getting the anxieties already building up me just thinking about, you know, doing something stupid like that again.
I need more money, Daryl.
All right. I think this show has come to its rightful conclusion tonight.
Maybe. Does it? Maybe we should have concluded 20 minutes ago.
All right.
But I rambled on, and I apologize. I'll be better next year.
Now, we do appreciate you joining in, and we had a great time last year in 2018. I think this 2019 will be a great year for Throwing Wrenches. We certainly welcome any feedback. I love getting emails from people, especially when they call me out on something. So if you know something about snow cats that I missed or the shuttle disaster.
Yeah, we're going to get some emails from some NASA aficionados.
Possibly, yeah. So yeah. We definitely look forward to that feedback in the new year.
Yeah, right on. And thanks again for just everybody's support. Anecdotally, there's been a lot of people who have come up and said, you know, I listen to you guys and keep doing what you're doing. It's fun.
I've gotten a lot of that. I was in Chicago and Joe Zumpf walked up to me and said, hey, man, you one half of Throwing Wrenches podcast? I'm like, yeah, you listen? He goes, yeah, it's a pretty good show. And I'm like,
awesome.
Cool. All right. I'm in Lake Michigan. I'm with a bunch of guys you know, I barely know, and somebody's listening to the show. So, and that happened to me at the war reenactment. And
Yeah.
You know, your friend was there, but still, I love it. So
it's been fun. So. We're going to keep growing, and we will keep you guys posted. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.